And at 8:01, we have a mostly cloudy sky, 68 degrees in Atlantic. And we are looking for a flash flood watch to be in effect until 10 o'clock today. We look for isolated showers and thunderstorms, a high of 79. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In the news, there won't likely be a policy anytime soon establishing the criteria for naming the various park shelters or other such structures in Atlantic after persons or groups of who offer large donations for improvements or new facilities that are controlled by the city's Parks and Recreation Department. Parks and Rec Vice Chair Mary Strong said during the board meeting on Monday that she'd called numerous other communities to inquire as to what their policies are for placing sponsor names on buildings and shelters and such.
I called Denison, Carroll, Boone, Harlan, Fairfield, Holstein, and Ida Grove because somebody in Harlan thought they would have a policy. And nobody had a policy. Nobody. And the only help that they could give was if somebody donated all the money for something, then they would put their name on it. Or if there was somebody in the community that everybody really appreciated or had done a lot for the community, then they might name a field or something after them. And they said there were some people that didn't even want their names on anything.
Parks and Rec Director Roger Herring suggested the board take requests as they come on an individual basis because his experience has shown him it's a very personal thing to want a building or some other type of structure named after someone. He says it's difficult to come up with a specific policy, however, because of the varying degrees of donations that they are intended for. Herring says there's really no way to honor every request nor make everyone happy.
If you come up with a policy, there's going to be that unique situation where you're going to make somebody mad that's got some significant jack money that might walk away from you.
Herring says he recalled a case when he was principal at the Atlantic High School where memorial money was offered, but the funds would only cover half of a project they wanted to raise money for. And he said he could have covered the other half, but a wrench was thrown into the deal.
And then out of nowhere, I had another big hitter approach me and say, I want to pay for this. Well, I got approached by the memorial people first, so I went to the big hitter and said, here's the situation. This person has half the money, and would you consider doing the other half? And basically the answer was no. It's either me or no.
Herring says that person refused to talk to him about participating in the project afterward.
Coming up with a policy is, we can come up with a policy, but you're going to close the door on something down the road, no matter what.
Well, the Cass County Child Abuse Prevention Council and the Cass County School Districts are welcoming the Scary Guy to Cass County to help kick off a year of violence prevention efforts in Cass County schools. The Scary Guy's mission is the total elimination of hate, violence, and prejudice worldwide. Since beginning his mission in 1998, the Scary Guy, which is his legal name, has reached millions with his message through his work with groups of all ages, large and small, as well as the media. All local residents are invited to participate in the Scary Guy's visit to Cass County by attending a community show to join the discussion. Community shows will be held in each school district in the county beginning this Thursday to ensure that all residents can hear his message. Scary will be in the Atlantic High School on September 2nd from 7 until 8 p.m., the Anita High School on September 3rd from 7 until 8 p.m., and the Griswold High School on September the 8th from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. For his complete schedule of when he's planning to visit each individual school to talk with the students, you can look for the story under KJAN.com on the news tab and click on the link we provided in the story. The Scary Guy will be visiting each school building in Cass County to share a targeted, age-appropriate message with local students. All the community meetings will be held prior to Scary being at the elementary schools, and parents are encouraged to attend to hear the message prior to your student hearing it. Parents are also welcome and encouraged to attend a show with your student the day that Scary is in their school. And anyone who would like more information on the Scary Guy's visit to Cass County or who has questions about his programs for the school and community is encouraged to contact the Family Crisis Support Network at 243-6615 or toll-free at 800-696-5123. Authorities say an inmate who escaped during a Sioux City work release program has been found at a nearby Target store. The Iowa Department of Corrections spokesman told the Sioux City Journal that 22-year-old Melvin William Spencer III was taken back into custody Tuesday night. Authorities say Spencer escaped custody on Sunday by not returning to a residential treatment facility from a weekend furlough. He's serving a 7-year sentence for intimidation with a dangerous weapon and for carrying weapons. He began his sentence in 2012 and was transferred to work release in June. The spokesman says it wasn't clear what Spencer was doing at the store. He said parole officers, officials that is, will review whether to revoke Spencer's work release. It's unclear if any additional charges have been filed. The Sioux City Public Works Director says officials are moving forward with a $300,000 plan to fix a city trail. The Sioux City Journal says the construction on the Floyd River Trail could start as early as the spring. The north trailhead was blocked off 5 years ago when Union Pacific Railroad tracks were built across the path. The director says a tunnel can be constructed beneath the tracks to divert pedestrians and cyclists. City officials say money left over from a different construction project could fund the repair. The plans will require approval by the city council. Elsewhere in the news, the Iowa Supreme Court is holding a public hearing this morning on a change that would make it easier for graduates of the two state law schools to practice in the state. Court Communications Officer Steve Davis says a Blue Ribbon Committee from the Iowa State Bar Association recommended the change.
Currently, after they graduate from Drake University Law School or the University of Iowa College of Law, they are required to successfully complete the Iowa Bar Examination. Under this recommendation, they would no longer have to do that.
Today's hearing will include testimony from 24 people.
There's law school deans, there's district court judges, there's Iowa Attorney General, a member of the Iowa Board of Law Examiners, professors at law schools, there's a Wisconsin district court judge, the dean of Creighton University School of Law. So it's a real variety of people with different perspectives that are going to comment to the Supreme Court.
The court has already taken written comments on the issue.
There's actually 152 comments, written comments made, so the court's going to have a lot of information to make the decision.
And the justices will make a decision following today's hearing.
I can't give you a timeline, but the Supreme Court will meet and make a decision, and I'm not sure how long that will take.
Today's hearing begins at 9 o'clock. It will be streamed live on the court system's website. Davis said the written comments and the proposal itself are all posted online at www.iowacourts.gov. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning, Pearl Palmer, age 100, of Oakland and formerly of Carson, died Friday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Esteline Palmer will be held today at 10:30 at the Lus Hills Funeral Home in Carson. Ada Virginia Pierce, age 86, of Perry and formerly of Panora, died Sunday. Funeral services for Ada Pierce will be today at 10:30 at St. Cecilia's Catholic Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has the arrangements. Helen Laurel Jensen, age 95, of Elkhorn, died August the 18th at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Helen Jensen will be held tomorrow at 2:30 at Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Daniel Chapman, age 15, of Harlan, died Monday. Funeral services for Daniel Chapman will be on Saturday at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Nadine Kenkel, age 56, of Erling, died Monday at Murtu Medical Center. A massive Christian burial service for Nadine Kenkel will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Lois Marie White, age 94, of Iowa City, died August 19th. Graveside services for Lois White will be Saturday at 3 o'clock in the Atlantic Cemetery. Lansing Funeral and Cremation Service of Iowa City is in charge of the arrangements. Vernon Robert King, age 78, of Adair, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Memorial services for Vernon King will be on Monday at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic is assisting the family with arrangements. Rita Hughes Burke, age 71, formerly of the Adair and Carson, the Adair and Casey area, died Saturday in Denver, Colorado. Graveside services for Rita Burke will be on September the 6th at 11:30 a.m. at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Cemetery in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic has the arrangements. And Ivan Lee Lund, age 71, of Anita, died Tuesday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Ivan Lund are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. That is a check of our news on KJAN. The Sky Scan forecast is next.